One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello, today I was joined by Phil Holmes, who runs the podcast called Scared, where listeners come on to tell their strange and paranormal tales to us all. Here's Phil explaining why he started Scared.
I think everybody has a story. That's how you and I met online. Yep. This is the tagline for the show. But, you know, I just fell into it, really, that I was going to do a podcast about something else, which would have meant a huge amount of research and work. And I thought, well, let me just try something. Let me do a test about the paranormal, because it's always been a passion of mine, but a sort of passion in the background. You know, my wardrobe isn't full of white clothes and I don't look miserable the whole time, but it's always been an interest.
Mm.
And I didn't know what to do it about. I thought, I don't want to do what everybody else is doing. And I've spent 25 years on British radio. And my favourite bit of being on the radio was always when, you know, doing competitions, getting listeners on.
Yeah.
And programme directors, the bosses of radio stations, would always hate me and normally fire me, because instead of getting a listener on and going, what do you think? What's your answer? And they go, you know, is it a Ford Fiesta? Yeah. I'd get them on and say, hello, how are you? What are you doing today? And I'd find out all about them. And then I could ask, you know, so the kids are at school and how's... And programme directors would hate it because I'd waffle on to these people.
Yeah.
But I thought that for me made what I did on the radio a bit different. Anybody can play Beyonce and give away a packet of Maltesers.
Yeah.
So when it came to do a podcast, I thought, what am I going to do? I don't want to read out scary stories. And I started building it on Twitter, and we built on Twitter at Scared Podcast really quickly, actually. And one day I just tweeted, if anything scary's ever happened to you, let me know. I didn't think I'd get any sort of reply.
Mm-hmm.
And in the early days, I got lots of replies. Twitter's a funny one, isn't it? That the less followers you have, the better response you get. It's a weird one.
Yeah.
And suddenly people, especially in the United States, started sending stories. But what I noticed, Lee, it wasn't your diehard paranormal investigator. It was just, inverted commas, normal people.
Yeah.
And in those days, I didn't talk to people. They kindly recorded into their phones and tablets. So the stories were all very short, 2-3 minutes. And it literally was I looked out my window last night and saw these lights in the sky and they danced around and went. It was that sort of thing. But I found I was fascinated myself. These were not people going into the old asylum, you know, the mental hospital. And all this sort of stuff, which if you want and if you enjoy, it's by the cartload. This was just normal people who had been in a house and heard a door slam, or had been somewhere and thought they'd been there before, or had seen a light in the sky.
Yeah.
Everybody has a story. And it's, as a full-time dad, taking my son and picking him up from school. My daughter's too old, but my son is 9. So talking with the other parents and saying, oh, I'm thinking of, you know, doing the show and getting people to share stories. And everybody would say to me, Lee, nah, nothing's ever happened to me. No. And I just got used to saying to people, are you sure? No, nothing's ever. Well, there was this one thing. that they'd forgotten about. They'd put to the back of their mind, and then they would tell the story, and it was always amazing. Not just, you know, you watch any sort of paranormal thing on the telly, and it's like, did you hear that door slam? Footsteps. And oh, was that a rock that was thrown? Oh, man. You know, you get that in the supermarket.
Yeah.
These were incredible stories. You and I have spoken about this, I think, on my show when I told you. But one of the mums I talk to every day, she's actually a school governor. And she, 37, 38, fitness instructor, lovely lady, three kids, all friends with my kids. And she said, well, Phil, no, nothing's ever happened to me. Well, actually, there was this one time, and she told the story of the family dog had died, and they were all very upset. The dog was 12 years old. The kids had always known the dog as part of their lives. When she's not out instructing, she, you know, works from home off her laptop, and she was sat upstairs a couple of days before I spoke to her, not that long ago, and she could hear on the wooden floor downstairs in their house, like claws. Going across, like a dog would make, walking across. Yep. And she thought, no. You know, that thing, you know, where you close your eyes and shrug and shake your head and no, it's not happening.
Yep. Fingers in the ears and la, la, la.
Absolutely. She's not interested in the paranormal in the slightest. And then she heard it again. And she thought nothing of it. And then the noise went. And next day, same thing. And she looked at her clock and noticed it was the time where she'd just done the school run. She'd come back, had a coffee, and before she either sat down with a laptop or went out to teach, that was the time she would take the dog out. And she thought, no. And she heard the claw marks again, and she called out the dog's name. And the claw marks, the claw sounds rather, on the wooden floor, got quicker, like the dog was running towards her.
Mm.
And then she said, and this always cracks me up because I've got two dogs and I'm a dog person, but she called out the dog's name and she said, look, we miss you. It's okay to go.
Hmm.
Never heard them again.
Yeah.
Now, this is not somebody wearing black clothes with lots of equipment, looking miserable, with green lighting. This is a fitness instructor who's a governor of the school where my son goes.
Yeah.
Told me but that.
That's the thing with the paranormal. It just happens, you know? You don't have to go looking for it. I mean...
Well, it's weird because when I talk to paranormal investigators around the world who want to come onto my show and share stories, and I'll say to them, so what scary things have happened to you? And normally it's nothing. They've got nothing.
Yeah.
They're looking too hard. And that's not what I wanted. It's to... talk to people, and this is what we do now, it's to talk to people who normally have had one thing happen in their life that they can't explain, and it's hard to get people on. I've stood out my back in my backyard, my back garden, the other day, and over the fence was talking with a neighbour's daughter, and they're into the paranormal, and she said, but nothing's ever happened to me, and I went, are you sure? And
yeah.
She went, well, did you see the lights the other night? And I said, no. She said, oh, I was out here having a cigarette and I looked up and there were these purple and green lights in the sky dancing. And I said, see, everybody's got a story. So that's what we do.
Mm.
I've shared my stories. You've been on as a guest twice, in fact, and you've shared stories. And people come on from around the world, normally in the United States, and they share. And it's normally just one story, something that's happened to them that they can't explain.
Yeah, that one thing. Yeah, that's. I mean, it's everyone you speak to, like you just said about the when you actually drill down and you get into the details and that they do have. Everybody has not. Well, I won't say everybody, but most people have that one thing, like you say, that they just can't put the finger on what it was. A lot of people just write it off and say, "I can't explain it. That's it." You know, and they don't really care for an explanation at that point. It's just, but you'll never, you know, you'll never shake that thing that happened to you. I know I've got paranormal experiences myself, like, and I'm the same way, you know. It's just that, I don't know, it's just getting to the bottom. Some people want to explore it. Some people want to, you know, some people get more into it because of something they've seen. Other people shy away from it, and you know, obviously there's the ridicule factor and all the rest of it. And a lot of people don't want to come forward with the, you know, when you meet someone, it's very, very difficult to get a paranormal story out of someone. It's very rare you're going to walk into a room and people are just going to tell you a ghost story, you know. You really have to press that person to get it out, and I think that's what you're alluding to in that thing. So obviously yourself, you say you've had a, you know, a radio background there. Was it an easy transition into podcasting with that background?
Well, I was an idiot, I think, because, you know, podcasts sort of arrived around 2005-ish, you know, when Apple started putting them into iTunes.
Mm.
And it took me 10 years. This is how stupid I am, Lee. It took me 10 years. At no point from 2005 to 2015, even mm-hmm. though I was on the radio, did I ever think, oh, I could do this at home. And you know, because we know most podcasts are just like a talk radio show. And it was when somebody approached me to do a podcast about tech and technology. And like I said, I said at the time, I don't have the time for this. I would have the time to do something of a different topic. I never then realized that each episode of Scared normally takes 2 full days to make. I thought it would be me and a microphone, a guest, quick chat, job done. You know, each episode of Scared is at least a day, if not 2 days. So it took me 10 years to get into it. And then I just fell out of love with radio, I think, as most people in radio around the world are doing because of technology. You know, it's bizarre. I'm almost 45. And when I started in radio as a teenager, and in America, it was exactly the same. There were no computers. You know, there was a turntable, and if you worked for a half decent radio station, there might be some CDs.
Yeah.
And I remember doing my first show in 1991 on a Saturday night, and I said to the program director, what do I play? What songs do I play? And he said to me, well, you're the DJ, you're the disc jockey. That's your job, isn't it?
Mm.
And that's what I loved. You had to use music knowledge, a bit of common sense, psychology. You know, our radio station was aimed at a 35-year-old woman.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew all about her. She was called, I think, Tracy, and she had 2 kids, and her husband had a job. You know, this imaginary person. So you had to work out, for me on a Saturday night, when Tracy was, say, 16, 17, 18, and she might be going out on a Saturday night, what was she listening to? So that would have been like the late 70s. So my playlist was, I built around sort of disco and Bee Gees and all that sort of stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. So you weren't playing any Iron Maiden or AC/DC to her.
But, you know, the radio station wouldn't have allowed me, but some, I mean, AC/DC you can get away with on the radio now, can't you? Like, thanks to Iron Man, even my son knows who AC/DC are now.
Yeah.
But then what happened with radio is very quickly in the mid-90s, all over the world, computers came in, and suddenly you'd walk in a studio and there was the list of songs you were going to play.
Mm.
I've worked at radio stations in the past where I had a script, where I had to read it word by word.
Mm.
And you just became an announcer, a voice.
Yeah, I can imagine that becoming pretty joyless quick.
Yeah, I always said, for a lot of radio work I used to do, and you know, if there's anybody listening that works in radio anywhere in the world, they know what this is like. I used to say it was like factory work, but worse paid. Because everybody thought, because you were on the radio, it doesn't matter how big the radio station is, and we know in America, you know, there's radio stations that come out like sheds and stuff on AM and medium wave, where like 2 people work there. People always thought because you're on the radio, you're obviously a millionaire.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I used to row with people, and I shouldn't have done it, but I would say to people, you know, at a dinner party, and somebody would say, oh, well, you're on the radio, you're obviously loaded. And I go, guess what I earn? And my partner at the time would sort of nudge me, and she didn't want me to, and I'd say, And they go, good God, no, really?
Yeah.
And I think you do a podcast, it allows you to be more creative. Because in America, you know, they have shows, don't they, like Coast to Coast and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
In the UK, we don't have that. And the other... The great thing, I think, which what podcasts do, and this is why people are listening to yours right now, is that moment where the iPod came out and suddenly people could put on the songs they wanted to and listen to in the order they wanted to.
That's it. And that is the glory of a podcast, basically. Basically, a podcast is a radio station when you tune in when you want to. Obviously, generally, the way radio works, if you want to listen to a particular show, you have to tune in at 5 o'clock in the afternoon or you know what I mean, 7 o'clock. With a podcast, you can pick it up, put it down. You don't have to listen to it in one go. It's a radio show in your pocket when you're ready to go. And it's just the way of the world. You know, it's convenient. It's convenience, and people like that. And I'm like you to some extent. I mean, I've had iPhones for years, and it was only, 3 years ago maybe, that I actually clicked on the podcast button. It's been there staring me in the face all them years, and it just fell upon it one day, and you know, I was hooked.
Now you're cleverer than me, because I mean, if we say podcasts have been kind of out for about 12 years, I've been listening to them for 6, and still my 2 brain cells who don't get on, one of my brain cells didn't say to my other brain cell, hey, why don't you do this?
Yeah.
And in those days, I was sat 8 hours a day in a radio station where I had all the equipment to do it.
Yeah.
It was only my daughter who said to me, Dad, why don't you listen to all of these? Why don't you do one? And one brain cell high-fived the other one, trying to take credit. Well, in fact, it wasn't. It was my daughter who said, Dad, get on the old podcast and bore people about ghosts.
Yeah. That's it. That's how it starts, isn't it? I mean, like I started with a podcast. I think I was listening to... at the beginning, I was probably listening to 6 or 7, something like that. And I probably whittled it down to 4 that I enjoyed. Obviously, Scared Podcast was one of those. And I was probably listening to it for a year or so before I thought, I'd like to try this. And here we are. So, obviously, it's a paranormal show you do. What's the reason for that? Did you have any paranormal experiences yourself?
I did, but I think like most of my guests, and I'm going to disagree with something you said earlier, because I think everyone has a story. I think even people listening now that go, no. I think everybody, and I mean adults here, but I think everybody's had deja vu. We just forget it. That moment, you know, where you open a cupboard and you go to get a mug out for a coffee and you think, I'm sure I've just done this.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you've forgotten about it. But we've all had those things. And I just had a couple of things where, you know, being stressed at 5, I think my dad had promised to take me to Star Wars and didn't, and getting really upset and kind of remembering a white mist going over my bed. And we just had a great-grandma die in the family when I look at dates now. And a story of being at school and a needleworker, a textiles teacher, teaching me to sew, talking about a haunted house that she lived in. And then 4 or 5 years later, I was a law student and I would rubbish at it. And yep. My law lecturer offering to give me extra tuition during the summer. And I went to a house and there were all these noises, footsteps and door slamming and whatnot. And long story short, it turned out it was the same house. So what's the chance of me having one teacher in one school, a lecturer at a college who I just happened to have them both as teachers. I happened to be in the house. But even that didn't do it for me. It was It was a couple of years ago. My grandmother passed away. I was very close to her, and my dad just phoned me one day and said, and my dad's, you know, very English, very straight. He's been a teacher all his life. You know, talks a bit like this. We'll have no funny business, Philip. No funny business. Nothing funny, yeah. Please. And get on with your homework. Will you? Have you cleaned your teeth? Get to bed. I remember my dad stopping me going out on New Year's Eve when I was 18. And it was about 10 o'clock, you know, and he'd gone to bed. And I said, right, Dad, I'm going out. And no, you're not. You're not going. It's New Year's Eve. You're not going. Get to bed. And I went, Dad, I'm 18. No, go to bed. The joke was I was DJing in nightclubs at the time and I was going out to work. So I've got record boxes. I said, Dad, unless I go out, you know, it'll come to midnight and the dance floor will be a bit quiet. But he told me a couple of years ago that he was woken up about 2 a.m. His hi-fi, and it is a 1990s hi-fi, where there's still a record deck, a turntable on the top.
Yep.
Started playing music like 2 a.m. It was it was so loud it woke him up, woke my mum up. He went downstairs. The volume knob, and it is a knob. That's how old the thing is. Was turned right up to the max. It was a CD playing. It was track 3 of the CD. So even if it had been a power surge,
you should start at track 1.
Track 1, but this was track 3. Nora, beautiful Nora Jones. It was my grandmother's favourite Nora Jones song, and I think it was "Come Away with Me." Ironically, and then he turned it all off. He went to bed. By the time he'd walked up the stairs, the phone was ringing. So this is, like I said, about 2:30 a.m. And it was my grandmother's nursing home saying she just passed away.
Yeah, that's going to give you the chills, isn't it?
Just has. I've just got goosebumps. That's my dad. No interest in the paranormal. He will say nothing's ever happened to him. He doesn't even want to tell me the story again.
Yeah.
But that happened to him two years ago.
Plenty of people like that. But I mean, that story that you just relayed, that exactly the same thing happened to me. It was a hi-fi, like you say, and it would come on. I think it was track 12, and I think it was on volume. I think the top volume was 24, and it was on 24. And this is in the middle of the night. This is like 2 a.m.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't think the track had any significance as far as I can remember, but literally just woke up and, you know, like out of a deep sleep, and I was like, "What the hell's going on?" And it, you know, I noticed that it was on track 12, and I thought that's really weird, because the first thing I thought, you know, a rational explanation, it was that it was probably a power cut, like you said. But then you'd expect track 1 to come on, wouldn't you?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But track 12, yeah, it's just. So I've had that. I wonder what that is. I wonder what, you know, if it's just something that happens to hi-fis, or if it's.
Well, you hear a lot with a phone, though, don't you? Similar stories where. You know, and I've had loads of these stories offered to me where somebody's phone will ring. Never seems to be, interestingly, a mobile phone, but a home phone. House phone, copper wire phone. You know, the phone will ring and then somebody will answer. There's nobody there. They'll put the receiver down and then it turns out the phone doesn't ring again, but then they'll find out, you know, a loved one's passed away at that time. It's like the spirit is sending a message, whether it be, you know, Iron Maiden, Nora Jones, or ringing the phone. It's and again, it's, you know, when I was thinking of doing Scared and talking to my dad afterwards, and I went, Dad, you've never shared this story. And he went, well, you know. And I went, no. It came on. It was a favourite song. And then you got a phone call. I said, you should have. But I think that's what people do. They go, as you've said, no, I'm just making it up. I'm being silly.
Yeah, but you get a lot of those, what should we call them, like almost deathbed visitations, you know, you get a lot of those where people will be in a completely different place and someone will pass and they'll get the sense of that before they've got the actual phone call or whatever it is. And I mean, that happens a lot. And I know some cultures, like Malaysian cultures, people, places like that, they believe that the spirit has 3 days before it crosses over. So they expect almost that they will get a visitation in that 3-day period.
Right. Yeah.
You know, before it passes on to the other side, like.
And like the dog story I told earlier on, you know, I mean, even for our pets, of course. And I also think that we had a guest on who had died twice. And I said to him, what was it like? And he said, have you seen the film Ghost? And I said, yeah, I've had to sit through that a couple of times with exes. And he said it was just like that with the light. And, you know, he's not selling a book. He's not selling anything. He was just a guy in Boston who came on, shared his story, and then that was it. Never heard from him again. And that's what I find, actually, and you and I have spoken about this on my show, that I find with Scared, and this is one of the things I love about it, it's almost like a confession in the Catholic Church that people come on and they feel, I get the feeling, they feel guilt because they've heard something or seen something. And by sharing it with me, it's like they've confessed to this guilt and they can then move on with their lives.
Mm.
And
yeah, it's definitely a weight off the shoulders type experience, you know. Like I was saying before, you know, it's not something you can just go up to someone in the street and start telling a paranormal story to. You have to have the right environment. And obviously Scared provides that environment where people can come on without the ridicule and just, this is what happened. You know, a lot of cases they'll say, I don't know what it was. This is what it was. This is what happened. You know, you don't need to go any further than that sometimes, do you?
Well, you know, it wasn't meant to be just paranormal. I mean, you know, I had a woman in America a year ago have the most wonderful story that she has a tree in her garden and nothing will grow around the tree.
Yeah.
And then she thinks she saw something in the tree and she doesn't know what it is. She thought it might have been a fairy.
Mm.
But all she knows, and she sent me photos, nothing will grow around the tree. Now, you could say, well, something wrong with the soil. But that was such an important story for her. I had a wonderful story from a German lady who was staying in an old inn and was reading, switched off the light, felt a little tickle on her face, you know, and just sort of brushed it off. Thought it was like a feather out the big posh hotel's pillows.
Yep.
And a couple of seconds later, felt, you know, the sort of brush again and thought, oh, this is a bit annoying now. Brushed it away. Got to the third time and she sort of leaned over and switched the bedside light on and saw the biggest spider she's ever seen in her life running across the duvet off the bed. So some of our stories don't have to be about aliens or Bigfoots or ghosts. They can be just stuff like that.
Just scared in general.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, as you know, because it's what you've shared with me, most stories are about ghosts and haunted houses. Some amazing stories we've had about attempted UFO abductions. One of my favourite stories I ever did with somebody is a young lady who lived in Roswell and would go into a cafe in Roswell, and men in black would walk in. And she said she didn't believe it. She thought she was in the Will Smith film.
Yeah.
And she was sat in there, and she was new. She wasn't from the area. And she was sat in this cafe one day, and two men in black sat down at the table and were quizzing her on why she was asking lots of questions about Roswell.
Mm.
I mean, that story just had me gripped, absolutely gripped.
Yeah, I think I remember that one. Yeah, that's pretty creepy.
You know, we've had a guy in Brooklyn, you'll remember, seeing dinosaurs.
Yeah.
The last show I did...
You know, that's more common than you'd think.
Are there dinosaurs in Grimsby?
Well, literal dinosaurs, or
walking down the seafront with an ice cream on a windy day.
Yeah, but no, the dinosaur thing is, and obviously you could get some, you know, is it Michele Mbembe in the Congo? You know, the people there still see a dinosaur roaming around. Say it's the size of an elephant. And people see up in Alaska to see like pterodactyl type bear dinosaurs, if you will, flying around. So, you know, it's more common than you'd expect. Let's put it that way.
I would point out though, Lee, that in the frozen wastes, the beautiful Alaska, where somebody might have had a hot toddy, somebody may have had a coffee with a little bit extra in there, or in the rainforests of the Congo, a bit different to an apartment in central Brooklyn.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But, you know, it's... I'm laughing about what we just said. I'm not laughing about the story, because for this gentleman, that was his story. And just like you do, I take them all very, very seriously. I had a woman last week, and I'm going to speak to her again this weekend. She had a demon in her toilet.
Yeah.
Now, when I did the recording with her, we had a giggle. Actually, we had a little laugh about it together, because she knew it was such a ridiculous story.
Yeah.
And it didn't go out as part of the show, but the bit before and the bit afterwards, she was like, "Phil, nobody's going to believe me." And I said to her, "Minnie, this is your story. It doesn't matter. You're sharing your story." That she went up one night to her toilet, and there, according to her, there was a demon in it, and she described the demon, and that was very important to her, you know.
Mm. No, it's like I say, it's you know, these things happen. You know, there's no rationale for it. It's just one of those things, isn't it? But again, like I say, these things are more common than people would like to believe. What do you think? Would you say that's the creepiest story that you've had on the show? Which one would you say is, you know, give you chills?
What I love, and this sounds like this is an English expression, and I hope it translates into American English, but it sounds like I'm sitting on the fence. But you know, with stories yourself, they're so personal.
Yeah.
I mean, if you looked out of a window and saw lights in the sky moving erratically, some people would find that fascinating, and some people would hide under the bed and think we're being invaded. When you've got a story like a demon in a toilet, some people will listen and just think, this is absolute nonsense. And other people will listen and think, I'm sure the same thing's happened to me. So for me, it's really hard with a year and a half of amazing stories to say the one that scared me the most.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't there. You know, in our first episode, and I wish it had been longer, actually. It was in the days where people used to record stories for us. It was a woman, a young woman, driving to university in Texas. And there was a truck, just like in the Steven Spielberg film Duel. A truck was following her and trying to overtake her. The truck driver threw something out and it went all over her windscreen so she couldn't see. Well, that's not about ghosts or UFOs, but I think we've all done that. We've all been driving and there's been a car just a bit too close behind us.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a scary thing. So I don't know the scariest story I've had, because it's different for everybody. I always...
Well, let's put it this way then. Because that's, I mean, like you say, they are personal stories, so you have to kind of be in the moment. But let's take the paranormal in general then. What, let's say, which aspect of the paranormal would you say, if you want to use the word believe, which aspect would you believe in the most? You know, would it be ghosts, Bigfoot, aliens, or do you give them all the same credit?
Well, look, don't we all think, how can we be the only planet with some sort of intellectual life. You know, scientists will say that the universe is never ending. And yet we are the only habitable planet. We're the only normal people. I don't even know the way to describe it. I mean, we consider ourselves to be intelligent, but then we imagine life on other planets, they're even more far advanced.
Yeah, exactly.
So now let's go into the woods. Do we think there could be a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch? Well, you kind of think no, because now they would have found something, and you know, the Finding Bigfoot team is still looking, and now we have drones and stuff. But actually, do we know? Because, and I think especially since you and I sat here in England, when you think of some parts of the world, and let's think of, you know, the rainforests, let's think of Midwest America, where they have forests the size of our country.
Oh, I know, yeah.
How can you, you know, they're finding species now all the time in the oceans, aren't they, that they've never found before?
Yeah, and they're finding some that they thought was extinct as well.
Right. So, and then if we go on to ghosts and stuff, we've all had the chills, we've all heard things or seen things, or people have told us stories that they can't explain. I think you have to be pretty brave for any of these genres, whether it be UFOs, ghosts and spirits, whether it be big hairy monsters, to categorically say it doesn't happen.
No, I think you're right. I think you have to be open-minded to all eventualities. But you find you speak to a lot of people, and you, as well as me, speak to a few people that will believe one set of paranormal things, but not the other, you know. So you'll get people who believe in Bigfoot, but when you mention UFOs, they'll say, no, there's no such thing as UFOs. You know, or you'll get people who believe in the Dogman, but they don't believe in Bigfoot, you know, or the way around. And it's just, and I find that strange, that you could believe in one, but not the other, you know.
Well, you know, the monster thing is quite an interesting one, because I think it's how it's set up, isn't it? I mean, we'll take the Loch Ness Monster. I think they've kind of worked out that all the evidence, the majority of the evidence so far has sort of been set up in the photographs and stuff. But
yeah,
it now becomes a legend, because it just so happens Loch Ness is Scotland's deepest loch, and that's the one the monster lives in. Now, I'm not saying it's not true, but it's the same when you talk about a Bigfoot type character, where you have forests around the world that are just so vast you can't even imagine. I find, but then you'll notice with like the Finding Bigfoot team, they'll go to smaller places where there's been sightings or those photographs. So even when you kind of go, yeah, that Loch Ness Monster, absolute rubbish, because of course it's Scotland's deepest loch. It's not living in a puddle.
Yeah, exactly.
But then when you look at it from the other side and you go, but then on the other hand, they are finding all these species at the bottom of the Pacific that they didn't know were there or they thought were extinct. So if there was something, Loch Ness would be the place.
I think someone was telling me about Loch Ness the other day. They were saying that scientists now believe it's a Greenland shark or something like that, what they thought it was extinct. They think that might be the Loch Ness Monster now.
Wow.
So you know. But again, the Loch Ness Monster is not just in Scotland. The similar creatures have been seen in America, Norway, so you know, there could be something to the shark aspect of it.
Yeah, and especially when it's funny, actually, I was on the phone to my dad this morning. We were talking about Norway and the fjords, because where I live, lots of cruise ships sort of head over there, and that must be one of the most amazing sights, to be on a cruise ship and go up through a Norwegian fjord. But of course,
Absolutely.
we know how deep they are, because they're all glacial.
Yeah.
So hence why they can get these huge cruise ships up there. So if there is going to be a bit like Loch Ness again, you're right. If there is to be something, wouldn't it be, in an incredibly deep fjord in Norway?
You'd think so. And not just the, I mean, the fjords up there. We did a show a few shows back about mountain trolls or giants that are meant to live in that same area. So who knows? I mean, it's still in places like Alaska where there's countless acreage, but not very many people. So who knows?
Yeah, I think it's what puts a lot of people off the paranormal, that there's a fine line between what could be paranormal and then, again, what is legend, isn't it? So for me personally, I put mountain trolls into the legend box, not the paranormal box. But the Bigfoot, for me, is in the paranormal box, because I just think there's... I did it on our Facebook group this week. You know, I put a photo up that somebody had taken from a car of... It could be a man in a, or a woman in a big, hairy, fancy dress costume by the side of the road, or it could be something else. We don't know, do we? We don't know.
That's the thing, isn't it? That's the paranormal in a nutshell. We just don't know. But you think, I mean, with the advancements in science and you know, I've spoke before about these, you know, these new cameras that are coming out, and all the rest of it, you think science, but in general, science doesn't explore the paranormal, which is, you know, a bit of a contradiction, I suppose. But with all this new technology, you think hopefully the evidence for the paranormal will become more apparent soon. You know, some of these things that we class as paranormal now might in 5 to 10 years be normal.
Well, you wonder how much of that is the paranormal community not wanting to do more. I mean, you know, we all watch, everybody listening has watched some sort of paranormal program on the television, wherever in the world you are listening to this right now. And you just think, a video camera, you used to have to use. Now you can use something like a GoPro, for instance.
Yeah.
And a GoPro, whatever, $150. So when you watch paranormal programs on the television and they go, did you hear that? It was downstairs. I think most of us are sat there watching that thinking, why do you not have a camera there?
Exactly. I mean, I've emailed various shows in the past, like you know, years ago, Most Haunted in the UK being one of them, where I was doing a live event and I was saying, look, I know what's going to happen. Halfway, like an hour into this show, somebody's going to say, did you see that? And everyone else is going to say, no, what was it? And the camera's going to be pointing in the opposite direction. I said, we all know it's going to happen because, you know, to some extent it's probably all staged, but can we not have a camera mounted on that person facing the direction that he's looking? So if he does see anything, we get to see it. I mean, you'd think that would be obvious, but they don't do it, and it makes you wonder.
But then, you know, any of these programs from around the world are entertainment, aren't they? They're not, it's not a scientific program, it's entertainment. They have to deliver. You and I can bang on about the paranormal and chat all day about it, but programs like this have to have something.
Something has to happen, yeah.
Something has to happen. I don't think... See, I've... Lots of allegations are made against these paranormal shows around the world. And I just have... Maybe I'm just naive. I've never believed anything is staged, because this is what these people do. This is how they make their living, pay their mortgage, feed their children. And if it was found out that that slamming door was actually the cameraman's, or that stone, or the ball rolling down some stairs, if it was ever set up, and it was found to be set up, it would just be the end of their careers. And I just don't like to believe, and I'm not talking about any show in particular, I'm talking about all of them.
Yeah.
I just don't think these people would try it. Because, you know, if something amazing happened, the whole world, in fact, I was going to say the paranormal community, but everybody And now we've got news coming out of our phones, left, right and centre. It's not like it would be back page of tomorrow's paper. It would be breaking news if something had happened. And I just don't think these people would risk it. You know, I've seen things on... I must admit, I always... You talk about a show like Ghost Adventures, which is so beautifully made.
Mm.
A beautiful mix of history and investigation at the end, where I have seen episodes of Ghost Adventures where, to be honest, basically nothing happened.
Mm. But that's what, you know, that I don't, I'd expect that to happen every now and again, you know?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Where nothing happens. Well, I'd say nothing happens. There might be a slight thing going on. And you always know what's going to happen with these sort of shows because it depends how long the beginning, the intro, the history bit is.
Yeah, yeah.
For what they're left with. But I respect these people because when you're doing something audio, like me and you, I mean, I could be sat here naked now. Nobody would know.
Mm,
the pressure... Well, of course, I've sent you the photos on Skype. The pressure to deliver something visual, and that could be a video podcast, it could be something on iTunes, something on YouTube, or it could be on the television. The pressure to deliver, I just don't believe with any of these shows that I've ever seen. Let me put it this way. I don't believe I have ever seen anything which I think is staged.
Mm.
Because I just think, you know, it would be the end of their careers. They'd be a laughing stock.
Mm. Well, yeah, I'd go along with that. But, you know, mostly what I want talking about, like the balls moving and all that stuff. I mean, some of that happens in locked off rooms and stuff. So, I mean, you'd have to take that as read. But I'm talking about stuff where they see things out the corner of their eye. You know, if you just mounted a camera on that person facing that direction, if they do see anything, you know, at least we get evidence of it, hopefully. That's...
But I think, though, Lee, a lot of shows are going that way. I mean, again, Ghost Adventures is the only one that I watch on a regular basis. And they do that now, you know.
They
normally send poor Aaron out, and he's got a GoPro and a thermal camera and this, that and the other strapped on him. And with that show, I mean, they're quite honest, aren't they? If they're doing an EVP session or something, they'll go, we did it for 20 minutes, nothing happened.
Yeah, you know, but that's, again, that's what you'd expect. But like I was saying, with the technology increase and everything that we've got now, and you hear these people who go out, I think it was Les Stroud. I don't know if you've seen the show Survivor Man. Well, he did a few Bigfoot episodes. And one of the ideas in that, he sat in a tent where Bigfoots have been known to come up to people's tents and all the rest of it. He actually sat in a tent with a thermal camera looking out. So... to all intents and purposes, the Bigfoot would be coming up to the tent, knowing there was someone inside, but not knowing that person can see them, you know, and hopefully catch it on camera. I think ideas like that and, you know, the full spectrum cameras and the GoPros, again, you know, dashboard cams, you know, majority of people now have got a dashboard cam. Are we going to see more stuff on them, you know, appearing in the future? So I think... a lot of this is going to be more prevalent in the next few years. I think you're going to see more and more of all aspects of the paranormal coming to the front.
Yeah, because I think, you know, we think of a lot of shows and the technology wasn't around. I mean, I have the utmost respect for the, and this is in the UK, but you can watch it in America. And I can't remember the channel. I think it's called Destination America, actually. In the United States, but when here in the UK, a show called Most Haunted every Halloween would do it live.
Yeah.
Now, for most of us, certainly for me and the kids, that was our Halloween. And you think for the production team of Most Haunted, not just presenters, but the whole production crew and the television channel to invest obviously a fortune into this. A, it was stunningly made. The live shows especially, beautifully made.
Mm.
But two, it was live.
Yeah.
And, you know, other shows have done these other ghost hunting shows at Halloween. It's our Halloween special. recorded 6 months ago.
Mm.
For the most haunted team here in the UK, for, I don't know, it was like 10 years in a row they did it.
Yeah.
And if nothing happened, nothing happened. But it was it was a stunning production.
But that's you know, it's brave. And it also shows you the interest in the paranormal, because, I mean, they wouldn't have done those shows unless, you know, even the one, like you say, maybe run for 10 years, you know, every Halloween they did a live episode. So obviously people were watching it regardless of anything happened. So that intrigue into the paranormal is...
Yeah, but the point is with that, when that was a live show on a big cable channel here in the United Kingdom, they brought in the community brilliantly.
Yeah.
And as you will remember from watching it, they would say to viewers, we've got webcams.
Yeah.
And you're watching this on your television, but also on your computer, we've got webcams. Now, you've got to remember, when this particular show, Most Haunted Live, was out, equipment was not as cheap as it is now.
No, exactly, yeah.
There weren't these, you know, high definition cameras for £100, $150. So they were using webcams, which was the best technology at the time.
Mm.
And you could sit there in front of your computer watching four webcams set up in a building, and you were watching them live.
Yeah.
And then you're what, in the corner of your own eye, you've got the television on, and they're broadcasting live. I mean, such a risk, beautifully done. And people, you will remember, Lee, all night were sending in texts, sending in emails saying, camera four, I've just seen something.
Yeah, screenshots and that, yeah.
And you could have been watching camera four and saw nothing, but somebody else saw something.
Mm.
And that's, I think, the problem with when you've got an investigation show that isn't live, it's all in the edit, right?
Yeah.
When I do, you'll be editing this. When I do Scared, my last guest, I spoke to that person for an hour about his experiences. And on the show, he was on for 14 minutes.
Mm.
And you would not know that wasn't just a 14-minute conversation. You wouldn't believe it was actually an hour where I've taken a bit here and a bit there. Not to make the story sound any different, but just to fit it into time. And of course, with any of the paranormal shows, that's what they do. When you've got a live show, I mean, I can't even imagine the stress.
I think that is definitely the way forward for those shows. If they did more live shows, if people weren't, you know, because it's this gratification, you know, instant gratification thing, what people want all the time, you know, this quick fix. And I think if people weren't expecting something to happen in every episode, then maybe the live shows is the way forward. And if we had more of them, I mean, it'd be interesting to watch, wouldn't it?
Well, it would, but nobody would do it because, A, the cost is crazy. I mean, you know, you can make... I mean, people do it on YouTube now, don't they? You can make a paranormal investigation show, you and your best friend. You can do it off your... You can record it on your iPhone or your Android phone. Get it home. Get it into... I don't run Windows, but if you're on a Mac, iMovie. Make it look broadcast quality. And the two of you have done it in your bedroom.
Yeah.
To do a live show is obviously something completely different. And, of course, live shows are financed by commercials, as many podcasts are. So if you had a live show from any team anywhere in the world... And when I say live, I don't mean on Facebook Live, I don't mean YouTube Live, I mean television live.
Yeah, yeah.
The costs are in the millions to put together that sort of team, have the satellites, blah, blah, blah. If nothing happened, how many people will get to the end of that 3-hour live show and say, well, nothing happened, but it was beautifully made?
Mm.
They won't. They'll get to the end and just go, oh, it's rubbish.
Nothing happened. Yeah, that
I used to read in forums about, you know, people that would watch Ghost Hunters or Ghost Adventures or Most Haunted and all the other ones, and dissect that show minute by minute, like it's something scientific, rather than it is We're not ruining the credibility. I think actually one of the TV channels here used to say that these shows were entertainment.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. You have a disclaimer at the beginning.
Right.
Yeah.
Not because anything was set up, because I don't believe it was. Simply because a lot of the viewers were looking at it that it was like a lesson in school.
Yeah.
Well, you're using an EVP meter, but I think you'll find the magnetics of the tape wouldn't actually... And shut up. Just watch it and enjoy it. And if something happens, incredible. If something doesn't happen, remember these people are putting their credibility on the line. And, you know, one of the guests of Scared was Phil Wyman, who was on the UK show.
Yeah.
Most Haunted. And he was there.
He was a parapsychologist, that way.
He was the he was the like the most experienced investigator.
Oh, yeah.
The parapsychologist, I think at the time, was Dr. Matthew, and then it was Dr. Kieran O'Keefe, who is going to be a guest of mine in about a month. Phil Wyman was like one of the, he now has his own ghost hunting company, and Phil and I spoke at length, you know, about Most Haunted and just about the fact that He said he wouldn't stand for it. You know, it was his reputation on the line. If anything was set up, he just wouldn't have stood for it himself.
Mm.
Because, you know, it was the credibility of all of them. I think anybody doing something live, pretty brave.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I am sat here naked.
As I know. So, yeah, so basically to close then, do you want to just tell people where they can find you?
Looking through your window now is where you can find me. Scared? Maybe. Scaredpodcast.com, iTunes in the United States, Google Play, which is only available there.
Oh, no, yeah, don't get that.
On all the social media. If you go on Facebook, it's so confusing. You might need your children to help you, because I did with me. If you put in Scared Podcast on Facebook, you will find us as a page. That's one of the ones you like. And we're a group. And it's confusing because sometimes I'm logged into the wrong one. So please like our page, but also join our group, because what it's a brand new group. It's only a week old as you and I record this, but already people are coming on and sharing stories, sharing videos of UFOs they've seen. It's a wonderful little community. So on Facebook, Scared Podcast, Twitter at Scared Podcast, Instagram, Scared Podcast. Are there any more, Lee? I'm 45. Yeah, I can't remember.
I think that's pretty much covered all the bases there.
But if you just go on the website, scaredpodcast.com, you can find it all there.
Aye. And there'll be a link in the show notes.
You can even hear you.
You can, yeah. And
twice.
More stupidity.
Waffling on about the seagulls of Grimsby. Hey, Phil, there was this seagull and it wanted to kill me, and it was paranormal, I tell you, it was paranormal.
Yeah, there was a bit of waffle, but hey-ho.
No, there was no waffle. It was you telling your story. Well, in fact, telling a number of stories. The one about the demon seagull, though, Lee, was my favourite. I have these chips, Phil, and it was trying to kill me. It was trying to kill me.
Oh, that's happened, hasn't it?
It had red eyes, and it was just after me chips and me pie.
You've got to be careful down Cleef Arms. But, thank you for coming on.
Is that it?
That's it, yeah.
Hey, man, it's been an honour.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.